There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 931, March 29th. 2022, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say wild and prancing horses in Arabia could not tame the raging Red Bull and the force of nature driving it. Pre-race fireworks was provided by the Houthi and the blow tank. We shall explain gladly. Back to you, Chief.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, F1 now races not only in the rain, but under missile attacks. Latifi is the bring out the safety car guru. Max and Charles do show great respect. And let's think about this. What if we didn't have DRS? How differently would the racing have been? And what's going on with Fernando? And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. I do want to thank Eric Orosel. Keep up the good work, Eric. And I do appreciate it. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. Waking up and sleeping at very odd hours because of the trip. But it's month end, very busy at work. And here we are, missile attack and rocket attacks. Formula One is getting a lot of flack for holding this race. And I even heard, I don't know if it's true or not, that some of the drivers were not interested in racing and they were pressured into racing. And basically a little bird told them, if you don't race, don't expect to catch the first flight out of Saudi Arabia. You know how they work there.
You gotta love it. Hey, at least the executioner is feeling much better now.
He's trying to recover from chop chop log.
Bravo.
Yeah, but man, the racing was fantastic. I was in the friendly skies somewhere over the Keystone State, that would be Pennsylvania, when the race was on, and by the time plane landed at Hotlanta, it was over. So I watched a little bit of the race on the plane and on the ground, then caught up, yesterday as to what the action was. But Mr. Rogers, I have to say this, that Formula One is now becoming like MotoGP. Very, very exciting from the beginning to the end, and you just don't know who's going to win the race till the checkered flag is out. So we have great two races to start the season. And who would have thought last year, Ferrari drivers 1-2 in the championship with Leclerc enjoying a 20-point advantage over Max. But as we all know, the Max pursuit is relentless. Toto and his top tiger are lost somewhere in Africa. They should bring a revised car and call it Rosanna. Maybe that will go to the top of the chart. What's your take on what's happening at the front these days?
Very, very exciting. I mean, we all know that the whole thing, I mean, the driving, it was Dijon Prenois. We had a little Dijon Prenois. I mean, at the beginning, at the end, and definitely the fight between Fernando and Ocon. What was going on there? I mean, it was great. I mean, and Offenhauser said, you know, he's going to let them race at the beginning of the Grand Prix. But I enjoyed this race so much. It was so exciting. And you have to give it to Leclerc, really sparring equally with Max. I think what we have here is called competition.
Yeah, absolutely. And they have history of competition going back to their karting days. I was listening to a racing, like a review, and they mentioned that they were going at each other so aggressively in their karting days that in one of the kart races, both of them were basically thrown out of the event. So it's good that this is happening, and I'm sure it's going to get a little bit more intense, and you know, the next level of intensity is called ugliness, and that's part and parcel of the season. But right now, Mr. Rogers, I can see four drivers going into the final three races with equal opportunity. Still, we have 21 races to go, so it is a very wide open championship. But if I had $1 million Burundi dollars to bet, I would say advantage Max. The guy is Senna, Schumacher, and Gilles Villeneuve, all packed in one wonderful Dutch treat. But that does not mean he can walk on water, as we have seen in competition so far this year and all last year. Everybody can be beaten. Some are beaten more than less time, so we will see. And Mr. Leclerc has been numero uno at Maranello in first two races. The red car is definitely very quick and very reliable, and also very, very beautiful. He has the pace and will to fight Max and his own teammate. I have a feeling, and tell me if you agree with me, that Ferrari will be more reliable than Red Bull, and that will help Leclerc. What say you?
Oh, I believe that. I think the Ferrari drivers are maybe a little gentler, and maybe the drivability is a little better. But let's not forget our boy Sergio. What an outstanding job. And boy, he needs to go to the cathedral as soon as he gets to Guadalajara and get down on the Jesus and get some good luck going, because that safety car was bad luck for Sergio. And you can hear the whole audience sigh. Aww, such a big bummer. But that's life. Oh, I can't get enough of it.
And I think points that will be lost due to driver mistake, like we saw in Baku last year for LCH, could be the deciding factor in this very competitive season. The other deciding factor could be Nicholas Latifi. Lately, he has been making quite an impact on championship and race results. And Signor Sainz on podium in both races, and Sergio getting his first career pole, has added further color to the title chase. And in the final analysis, Mr. Rogers, moral of the story and the race in Saudi. To beat Max, Lewis, the Sennas and Schumachers of the world, you need a car that is minimum 0.3 seconds faster. If your car is faster by 0.2 or 0.2, they will pounce on you. Shall we look at some qualifying action, sir?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, you know, this English group, UB40, they were singing 1 in 10. Checo from Mexico was singing his own tune, 1 in 11. 11 years exactly to the day he made his Grand Prix debut, the number 2 at Red Bull gets his pole position number 1. To do this, posting faster time in each of the three sectors against a teammate, the mighty Max, is very, very impressive. So I say kudos and piña coladas to Señor Perez. And it's a new track record. Perez breaks Mark Webber's record of most races before grabbing maiden pole, Sergio securing his first pole in race number 215. That's 215. And sir, I heard a very interesting stat on another podcast. Do you know who was the first driver who went on to win his first Grand Prix from his first pole position? I did not know that. And the answer is shocking, but also very amusing.
Give it to us, baby.
Pastor Maldonado.
Bravo! Bravo! So this could mean that Latifi has a chance.
Oh yeah, he has quite a bit of chance. He can knock out 19 cars and he'll be the winner.
Yeah, I mean, Latifi, I mean, I shook my head. And my headline was going to be, I have to admit, that he's changing his name to Maldonado. But I said, well, that wouldn't be fair to Pastor.
Did you hear his comment after he crashed?
No.
It just was a very relaxed comment. I think, you know, it's interesting. Both the billionaire boys are Canadians, and nothing wrong with that. But I think they should take a trip to Banff National Park during the Formula One season. They've had their fun. Okay, sir, moving on to Red Hot Ferrari, second and third with Leclerc on row two, Max sharing row two with Carlito. You may ask yourself, where is my beautiful Royal Highness, Sir Lewis Lebastia Hamilton? Well, for the first time since the 2017 Brazilian Grand Prix, Mercedes Maverick did not move into Q2, blaming the setup and not Brembo brakes or Mahle piston. And according to his teammate George Russell, 95% of the problems will be gone if they can solve this, humping and bumping situation they are having. And I think Mercedes will find a solution. Apparently, they are bringing a new chassis or a tub to the Australian Grand Prix. But I am very convinced Mr. Rogers, within three races from Australia, LCH will be mixing with Leclerc and Max Verstappen. It may happen sooner, but given the resources and the technical know-how at Mercedes and parent company, I don't think they'll be looking for a solution around Monza. What say you?
Well, the best part is how much giggling was coming out of Valtteri Bottas. That was the best, you know? And once again, good timing and a little luck, and he's going, damn, I'm starting to like that lady luck. It's too bad he DNF, but I tend to disagree. The problem is, once you fall behind a little bit, you're catching up, but you're catching up to the tail end of development by Ferrari and Red Bull as they continue to develop and move along towards the point at the spear. So I think Lewis Hamilton's just going to realize it's time to relax. And Fernando has promised him camping chairs throughout the season.
Well, you know, if it was a 15-race season, maybe I can buy that. But we still have 21 races, so I will not count LCH for the championship. But for now, for the giggling purposes and hammy haters, as far as Lewis is concerned, days of wine and roses and veggie burgers with Beyonce are over. But I expect this guy to come back. Now, big crash in Q1 for Mick Schumacher. It was good he was not hurt. And there is no doubt he is under pressure from second chance romance between Gunther Steiner and K-Mag. Cotter Schumacher was taken off the grill and did not take part in the Grand Prix. I think, you know, K-Mac coming into that team is going to take the shine and the S from Mick's last name. What say you?
Well, it certainly has looked that way so far, but we've only had one Grand Prix, and we'll see what happens. Mick definitely is going to have to pick up the pace, and I think he can. Once you get over, you know, the other thing is, apparently, this car really suits Magnussen really well. So, that happens a lot. Apparently, Russell could be a little more comfortable in the car than Lewis. We've seen this happen so many times in the past. So, Magnussen, he just needs to get used to the G-forces and his neck muscles. But pretty soon, he'll be even more competitive. But he loves the car. He thought P9 was a bit conservative, thought there was a little bit more in the car, and once he gets the grips with it, very exciting. And let's not forget that the suck my balls situation has been fixed. Him and Hulkenberg kissed and hugged.
Yes, the ball is out of the court now, and apparently Nico Hulkenberg approached K-Mag in Bahrain and said the same words to K-Mag to break the ice. And then I hear that, I don't know if it was last year probably or some place, where both of them found each other in the same elevator, but did not speak to each other. But, you know, that's the way it goes. But peace and love is better than war and missiles, especially firing missiles on Oil Depot, not very good. How will the cars race if you do that?
Well, We don't want to open that can of worms.
That is very true. That is very true. But, you know, speaking of that can of worm, we'll talk a little bit later on this in Montreal. But going back to the race, man, it's amazing how the numbers of wins are piling up for Max. And this was Sunday was win number 21 for him. Absolutely incredible. And I've said this before a few times. In our lifetime, I will not be surprised if Max wins 15 races or more. He has what it takes. All he needs is the best package, and the lady luck will be smiling him at the checkered flag every race. But you know, interesting thing, his win on Sunday came on the day that his papa, Jos the Boss, made his F1 debut in the Brazilian Grand Prix way back in 1994. I'm pretty sure by the time the season is over, Max will have 30 plus Grand Prix wins. That's very, very impressive, despite the fact that we have a lot of races this year, these days. And you have to be very good to win a race, and that's for sure. Now, Mr. Leclerc, the man from Monaco, came very close to making 2 for 2 and T for Binotto and Maranello, but lost out by half a second to Mighty Max. Obviously, he was very disappointed, but said every race should be like this. You know, the real good thing is, it was close fight, tire smoking from both of these guys, but they kept it clean. Both of them finished the race, so all the credit goes to both these young drivers. Now, interestingly, in just 2 races so far this season, Leclerc has more podiums than he had all season last year. The red is rising, and the next stop is Albert Park, where they have grabbed quite a few wins over the years. Kimi won there in his Ferrari debut in 2007, and even Eddie Irvine won a Grand Prix in Australia for Scuderia. Anything you want to say about the Leclerc-Max battle?
Well, besides it being stupendous, and the interesting way that DRS is really being used as a tool, when to pass, when you really want to pass correctly, when you pass them after the DRS zone to the next DRS zone. It's fascinating, and like that's why I put out the question at the beginning of the program, what if we didn't have DRS? What if we decided, you know what, DRS is over by Monza? It could still be an exciting and fighting Grand Prix.
Well, you know, the thing is, it's the same for everyone, but, you know, sometimes you do get the, it's like at the Indy 500, if you take the lead with 2 laps to go, chances of not winning the race are very high. So it's the same thing here. I personally never liked the DRS thing and push to pass button, but what are you going to do when cars are designed in such a way that top line drivers, I remember Kimi Raikkonen once said, it's very hard to pass. So there's a reason they brought it, and we just have to suck it up. Okay, sir, third man on the podium, Carlos Sainz. It was his 3rd straight podium because he was on the podium in the season finale last year, and this was his 17th consecutive points finish. So very impressive. It was the first time Ferrari got both cars on the podium in consecutive races since 2019. And having followed Carlito's career for many years, you know, from his Formula BMW days, and we've interviewed him a few times, he was very nice to us.
Okay, folks, I'm here at Alton Park with the next muy macho hombre de España, Señor Carlos Sainz Jr. Carlos, great to meet you. How are you today?
Yeah, nice to meet you too. Everything okay for
now? I cannot wait for the day when Sainz Jr. becomes the 2nd Spanish driver after Machismo to win a Formula One Grand Prix. So all the best to him. And speaking of Machismo, man, we'll talk about him when we come to Ocon. So moving forward, Checo, Sergio Perez, he was looking good. Man, I'll tell you, Sergio Perez had won this race before the team's top dog. Then I think Max would have gone ballistic. And because, you know, if you listen to anybody who were at Renault, when Jarno Trulli won the Monaco Grand Prix, apparently his teammate was a wee bit pissed off. And it's easy to understand if you have followed this gentleman's career. But Perez got the Isaac Hayes CD courtesy of Caution. And it's one of those things, you know, sometimes they work your way, sometimes they don't. And but sad part for Sergio was he did not even make the podium and had to settle for fourth. Georgie Boy in fifth, he must be smiling as he was much faster than his illustrious teammate throughout the weekend, but sooner or later he will feel the heat from Hamilton. Sir, I think they will sort out their problem and we will see a first win for not only Sainz but also George Russell. What say you?
I say no wins for Mercedes this season.
I will be supremely shocked if they don't win a race this. They will find a way to win if they sort this out. Keep in mind, we're going to have two or three races, and there, Mr. Hamilton, only competition he will have in the rain will be from Mr. Max Verstappen, who is also incredibly good in the rain. So we will see how it works out. Now we come to Esteban Ocon. He is trying to be mini machismo at Alpine, and Lando Norris almost got him for sixth place, but Esteban hung on to it. Man, his battle with machismo, the battle of Pink Panthers, I really, really enjoyed. And I have a feeling that, remember how much issues Ocon was having with Sergio Perez when they were at Force India?
Indeed.
I think it's going to get nasty like that. What say you? Because, you know, he cannot afford to be stomped on by Nando. And Nando is not going to be too happy with getting competition from a guy who has just won one race. And actually, Alonso helped him to win that race, if you recall.
Oh, I do recall and recollect everything about that Ocon win. Because without Fernando, there is no such thing as an Ocon win. So certainly, but no, the competition is awesome. Ocon, as you said, his testicles are on the platter. He has to perform up to par with this 40-year-old man who's very good at making paella. So no, it's great. I love the competition. And as long as the team principal doesn't start freaking out, I think it's going to be great. But let's keep it clean. And keep it fast.
And this 40-year-old man is now saying he may stay for another 2-3 years. What's going on there?
I think it's called Prevagen.
Yeah, and I just hope, whether he stays or not, I just hope this Australian kid, Oscar Piastri, who won Formula 2 in his rookie season, and he finds a seat next year, which would be very, very nice. Okay, sir, moving on to seventh place finisher, and that was Lando Norris. First points of the season for the driver and his McLaren team. And you know, they say misery loves company. M&M, McLaren and Mercedes, they both have issues. So we'll have to see how they will get this thing taken care of. But I think Mercedes will be in winning form much sooner than McLaren. Pierre Gasly, he was looking for some Tums in the closing laps due to major pain in his tummy, but soldiers on to finish 8th, and he made a comment that it was like, pain was like somebody stabbing him in the stomach when he was making certain turns. So I hope he's feeling better now, because we want to see him, you know, do well. The car looks good, the Alfa Tauri. Now, yucky weekend for his teammate, Senor Yuki, or Yuki-san. First, a suspected water system issue forced him out of qualifying, then a driveline problem left him stranded on way to the grid. Now, that has to be the worst feeling if your car conks out on the way to the grid, which means you did not even start the race.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's demoralizing, but he was feeling so good in testing, and he likes the car. He was making some really good times. But yeah, bad luck, bad karma, whatever you want to call it. Well, we have to be sensitive about the karma. But nevertheless, I think AlphaTauri will improve tremendously because they've got that Ferrari motor. No, what am I thinking? They've got Honda. I'm lost in the ozone again, Nasser.
Yeah. Yeah, you're too excited from the weekend, sir. Yeah, so it's very, very interesting. Fantastic racing. And I hope if the whole season goes like this, it's just going to be a miracle. I definitely want a couple of rookie maiden winners. Definitely want Lewis back in the game. I definitely want to see Carlito take charge from Leclerc for a few races. It's very interesting, you know, intense rivalry between Charles Leclerc and Max from karting days. Teams are big rivals. And then Carlos Sainz Jr. also has a score to settle with Max and Red Bull, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean, Nasser. Outstanding. And I certainly hope when we get to MM, you'll be talking about NASCAR and the Watermelon Man and the exciting Dijon-Prenois finish to the Coda race. I mean, shazam, shazam, shazam. We had some racing last Sunday. So anyway, on that note, Nasser, it's time for me to go get another Miller Lite. So we'll be back after these brief messages.
Deep below the plains of southern France, in a mysterious process begun millions of years ago, nature herself adds life to the icy waters of a single spring, Perrier. Its natural sparkle is more delicate than any made by man, and therefore more quenching, more refreshing. And the mixer, par excellence, naturally sparkling from the center of the earth, Perrier.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Sultan himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. We'll have some update on my trip to Europa. But before we get into nitty-gritty detail, let's start with giving the top five in the F1 Championship. Leclerc leading with 45 points, Sainz Jr. second, 33, Max third, 25, George Russell fourth, 22, and Lewis Hamilton, it says 1 point. Is that correct?
That is not a mistake, sir. That is LCH, but don't worry, pretty soon it'll be LLCH.
Wow, amazing. So he's 44 points behind Charles Leclerc.
But don't worry, he's feeling pretty good. He's making waves and wearing killer outfits in the paddock.
Oh yes, as always. That's good. To each his own. Okay, sir, you know, the COVID, thanks to COVID, I had not taken a trip outside the U.S. since December of 2019. And I was itching and itching and itching to go. I was going to go in January of this year, but then we had these different viruses, variants coming. So it got delayed. And then I am trying to go, Mr. Rogers, to Monza for the Italian Grand Prix. And this year, if I make it, which I'm pretty sure I will, it will be 40th anniversary of my first visit to Barco Monza in 1982. So it was important to get a trip done a few months before Monza. So, sir, trip started with a visit to Crystal Palace with Dr. Mark and Mr. Peter Brazier.
Hello, F1 Weekly Familia. We are under the watchful eyes and sculptor of Sir Joseph Paxton, designer of Crystal Palace, with members of F1 Weekly Familia, Mr. Peter Brazier and Dr. Mark Farrington. Gents, thanks so much for the wonderful trip here. Dr. Mark, you've just come back from an overseas trip. Tell our listeners where you were and what's happening in the wonderful island nation.
Well, I've just come back from a 10-day holiday in Mauritius. Beautiful island with no known motor racing history, to my knowledge, but it's beautiful with forests and hills and very hot weather and enormous humidity. But it was a very pleasant way to spend 10 days, the first trip abroad for 2 years for myself and my wife.
Speaking of no motor racing history, Pascal Wehrlein may have issue with that. Was there any sighting of him on any of the beaches?
You mentioned him and I didn't actually look him up, but you tell me, does he live there? Was he actually born there? I don't know.
His mother is from Mauritius, that's all I know about that. Okay, now moving up to number one fan of car number 44, Mr. Peter Brazier. Who? Sir, I have a question for you. Just one question, because we have to look forward to 2022. I heard a rumor at the end of the season finale,
There was only one person more happier than yours for stopping, and that was you. Please explain.
Well, yes. It actually turned out quite well, because I was just not happy with the season. It was just another run, and I hope things have changed, and we've got some mix-up. Most certainly, the race last weekend was a delight to watch.
Definitely, and I hope the season goes this way. Do you think this was a red flash in the pan, or we will see more wins and more challenge to Lewis and Max from this young guy, Charles Leclerc?
Well, I hope it's not a flash in the pan, and I hope they've got a properly fast car, and Red Bull sorts out their fuel pump issues, and we might even have three teams vying for it this year. Wouldn't that be fun?
Absolutely. Dr. Mark, your take on the season opener?
Again, it was one of the most enjoyable races I've watched for years. I'm saying that, as many people will know, as a McLaren supporter, I'm even wearing a McLaren Classic Team sweater here. And despite that, I thoroughly enjoyed the race. And just one little thing that hasn't perhaps been mentioned so much, the look of the cars and the difference in their design. It's almost like a flashback to the 70s or 80s with the different interpretations and little tweaks, aerodynamic tweaks that each team has taken a different route.
Speaking of McLaren, do you think your team will see a Shuey on top step of the podium this season as happened last year?
Unfortunately, I think it's less than 50% likely, shall we say that. Hopefully they'll get themselves back. They say they know the basis of their problem, but the car seems to be running very high, and that may explain their lack of porpoising. I hope otherwise, but I fear it may be a season of frustration. But for the first time almost ever, I was heard to say Forza Ferrari.
That's very good. Yeah, Ferrari winning is good for everybody.
It is.
And Mr. Brazier, how is your electrified Ferrari going?
I've sold it, yes.
What do you have now?
I've got a 1958 Mercedes 190 SL, which has been completely rebuilt, and it's being electrified at the moment.
Fantastic. Okay, now, any surprises or anything stood out for you in the season opener?
No, it was just really pleasant to watch a race that wasn't all about one person. There was some genuine racing going on, genuine overtaking. As Mark said, the cars look great. I was worried they'd look a bit too artificial with these sort of, what are those wheel cover things at the front? But they look fine. They appear to go well. DRS probably needs some tweaking because that didn't appear to work as well as it should. But no, it's great. Bring it on.
Which one do you think is the most beautiful car, and do you like the green on Aston Martin this season?
I wasn't drawn to that. Most certainly the Ferrari looks really, really nice. The livery is sorted on that. The McLaren, I'm Marmite on that one. From some angles it looks great, and from some other angles it looks like someone's just gone at it with a bunch of aerosol spray cans. But no, I think the cars look great.
And apart from McLaren, Dr. Mark, what is the most beautiful looking car on the grid this year?
Well, actually, I do like the Aston Martin. That colour, I think I'd hark back to when I was a lad. I had a dinky car of one of their 1950s open-wheel Formula One cars. Singularly unsuccessful, but a beautiful car and a lovely colour. And they've caught that sort of opalescent green, I think, very well.
Okay, now, I was very surprised. Like last season, the guy who surprised me was Carlos Sainz. He did a very good job. This is just one race, but I was very, very surprised by Kevin Magnussen and his performance, both in qualifying and in race. What say you, Doc?
Yes, I was pleased. I was at a Silverstone test when he was first run McLaren. And the talking within the team after that test was very, very positive about him. And he didn't seem to do quite as well as he promised then. But maybe he's just a late developer. He's the interesting inter-team dynamics there. Where was Mick Schumacher?
Yeah, that is also my question. And Mr. Brazier,
What do you make of the Mick Schumacher situation? It's only one race, but your thoughts on K-Mag and Mick Schumacher?
It is only one race, but it kind of explained what happened for the other 20 races last year. He should have been blowing Mazepin away, and he wasn't. And we may have just had it explained in one race. But we'll see.
Yes, yes. Okay, now, you know, if you don't have package, you cannot deliver. So keeping that in mind, do you think Das Party is over after this season for Sebastian Vettel and the two-time world champion Machismo?
Probably their last year, isn't it? It's got to be.
Doc, your prescription?
Well, much as I have enjoyed particularly Fernando's contribution over many years, although he did seem to have a spark last year, and it was fun to watch, he doesn't seem very excited this year. Sebastian, I don't know. It so much depends on, I suspect, how he gets on with Lawrence. There's a grip of iron on that team, and if he welds himself to it, he could still be here, but it could go either way, I think.
Okay, we have hopefully, once the bumping issues are resolved, a battle royale, battle of Brits at Mercedes. How long you think it will take for George Russell to rattle the cage of Lewis Hamilton, if at all?
Well, it will come. I'm sure Toto's view is that George will support Lewis this year, and we'll see what happens. And if he gets his number 8, then George will be let loose next year.
Can I rephrase the question?
Please do.
So to rephrase the question, how many races in will be the first time Lewis is faster than you on the radio?
Well, I think you're the most qualified person to answer your question.
4.
What do you think? What do you think, sir?
Could be. I'm very impressed by George. He needs more time to settle, and it's just a matter of how quickly he can do that. It could be 4, it could be 14, but I think it's going to happen during this year.
Do you think they will solve the issue where both of them can mount a challenge for wins and championship?
One concern is that I think George has got such potential that the key for the team and for either of them in a championship challenge. It's a bit like McLaren in 2007. They could be running into each other, literally or figuratively, and somebody else in another team could slip through.
Okay, 2000 situation, we all know what happened there. I have a feeling, and I want to share your thoughts on this, that if the season pans out the way first race panned out, I think Charles Leclerc and Max Verstappen will have a lot more argy-bargy or dirty dancing than Max and Lewis. What do you think, Mr. Brazier?
Oh, certainly. They've got history, haven't they? Formula 3, what else?
Karting.
Did they? They were in karting. Did they have argy-bargy in karting too? Yeah, so good. Bring it on.
Doc?
Yes, I was very surprised when Charles was given a 5-year contract. But on Sunday, I think he explained to me where that came from. He played Max like a fly fisherman, and he fell for it 3 or 4 times, and that was really impressive. And he's a great guy. I've heard a number of interviews. He's a man of depth as well as Formula One skill, which he's now demonstrated. This is going to be great. And the thing I really want to watch is if the Mercedes gets up to that level to see him fighting Lewis. I think that could be real artistry.
Yes, to borrow a phrase from our host, charming host, what you're saying is that Leclerc made Max look like Stinko. But these things happen in motor racing. Okay, you were telling me earlier about Imola. You went there and there was some testing going. I want your take on that track and will you recommend somebody who has not been to a race to go there? And we have Formula One race there this season.
I haven't been to a race there. I would love to. But I went there with my daughters it must have been about 20 years ago, just as part of an Italian holiday. We love Italy and we go whenever we can. And we spent an afternoon walking around the track, drove there through Imola village, narrow Italian streets, and the sun was low in the sky, lovely shadows of the cypresses. You reminded me, mentioning Imola in a recent podcast, there's a school in the grounds, and I remember hearing the happy sounds of the children. And there wasn't a race there, but there was some Maseratis, sports cars, were being tested on the track. I mean, these blood red cars in the warm Italian sunshine. Oh, it was just heaven.
Okay, Mr. Breezer, I had to take a call from Lewis. I thank you and him so much for showing me around here. Great pleasure. Any message for listeners of the F1 Weekly Familia?
Well, I just say it's been a pleasure to be loosely associated with the organization since, was it 2006? I think it was.
Late 2005, I believe.
Yeah. And I hope we can continue this and meet at many other tracks, current and past, elsewhere in the world.
Absolutely, sir. And I look forward to you coming to one of the American races, be it Daytona or... Have you been to the Indy 500?
No, that was... That's certainly on my bucket list. I almost got to Chicagoland. What's that racing series?
IRL. IRL NASCAR also. They used to race there, Chicagoland.
Yes.
Did you go there?
Well, unfortunately not. I had a medical conference in Chicago. It was NASCAR. And I got a ticket for the Sunday. And, of course, it rained. And, of course, they don't like getting their boots wet. So the race was put off till Sunday, until Monday. And, unfortunately, my presentation was on the Monday, so I couldn't go. So I gave my ticket to a friend.
Well, you know, as far as the Indy track is concerned, the museum there itself is worth a visit. They got the trophy from a winner of the Libyan Grand Prix in Tripoli from the 1930s, Rudolf Caracciola. They got the first Indy 500 winning car from 1911, and they got the Mario Andretti Lotus turbine car. So that is a fantastic avenue, and if you ever come there and we can meet up there, Big Mac, supersize on me.
That's a deal, NASA, definitely.
Okay. Mr. Brazier, who will win the champion in your opinion, or who would you like to see win the championship?
That's two separate things. Jenson Button's not racing anymore, so I can't answer the latter question. But the first question, I'm going to go Max.
Okay, so Jenson Button is basically your Fernando Alonso.
Yes.
Okay, Dr. Mark, you have anything to say on who's going to win and or who you would like to see, apart, of course, from the McLaren drivers?
Of course. I think I'm absolved from having to mention a McLaren driver, unfortunately. Certainly that's the way it seems. If I was going to predict, I would say I do not know. But I'll stick my neck out and say I would like to see Charles Leclerc win this year.
Very good, sir. Very red-hot wishes. And I would like to see that happen. But I think Max is the ultimate bully. He's not going to give up. And if Mercedes can give LCH a competitive car, he's coming back very strongly. That I am totally convinced of both these guys. But we shall see in Abu Dhabi. Thank you.
In Crystal Palace, I've heard about this place forever. They used to do Formula 3, Formula 2, even non-championship Formula 1 races there. So we took the London Tube and the train, and we got there. And man, this is the history of this place goes back more than 100 years. The original... you know, they had a big pavilion there that was that burned down many moons ago. But racing continued. We walked on certain parts of the track, which is obviously a street circuit. And Mr. Rogers, I have to say, the first time I went to Monza and after the race, you know, all the people, they cut these chain fences and everybody comes on the track, the Tifosi contingent. And in 1982, I was part of that group. And when I got on the track, I was freeze frame, and I looked towards the last corner, which is, of course, Parabolica. And I said to myself, this is where people like Tadzio Nuvolari, Ascari, Fangio raced, and Ronnie Peterson sadly lost his life there. And it was the same feeling at on the road portion of this Crystal Palace, you know. I remember saying to both Peter and Dr. Mark, you know, I'm standing on the piece of road where Jim Clark and Graham Hill and the likes were racing. So it was very nice. We did a little bit walking around the track. And hopefully, my plan is to this year at least add two more circuits that I must see. One of them is Watkins Glen, and the other this year to be ticked off, hopefully, will be Road America, Elkhart Lake, which is very, very nice. And then in the evening, as Dr. Mark said, Formula One has dissed Malaysia, but we did not. So we went to have some very nice Malaysian food, spicy, which is the variety of life, they say. So that was good. And this was on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, Mr. Brazier and I, we went to a place called Daventry and visited Fortec Motorsports, which is headed by Mr. Richard Dutton, and his son Oliver now runs the show. And it was very kind of him to allow us to come and visit the shop. They showed us the entire operation. And something very interesting happened. Richard Dutton is now involved in historic car racing, Lotus Cortina. And he said to me that I just shipped a car to some guy, a racer in California. And he gave me a name. And I said, oh, I think I know this guy. So I told him, is this guy on certain road, on certain city in Northern California? He said, let me check. And it turns out, sure enough, it's the same guy. So it's a small world we live in. And what we did is we recorded our conversation. We will play this next week. So that was a very interesting conversation. And it's nice to be at a racing place, that's for sure. Let me tell you that. A lot of racing drivers have driven for Fortec Racing. They include Alexander Rossi in World Series by Renault, Robin Frayne, Stoffel Vandoorne. He's good friends with his ex-driver, one of our favorites, Heikki Kovalainen. So it was a nice conversation, and we'll put this on next week. So please look forward to it. And again, my personal thanks to Mr. Brazier and Dr. Mark for their time and assistance here. And hopefully, I'm just hoping very much that we're done with COVID problems. And then it will be, I will make another trip, and we'll have some more motor racing. And sir, after that, I went to Munich. Okay, went to a couple of museums there. I went to a museum there, which is this German guy, private museum. His museum has a lot of cars, but only German cars. And they had some very beautiful 1920s, 30s Mercedes, big Mercedes cars, Maybach and stuff like that. But the car that really got my attention, he had one of those beautiful BMW M1. I'm sure you remember they were used in the Pro Car series. And sir, creme de la creme after that was the second big track in Austria, Salzburgring. I went there and I had sent an email to them, and a lady responded that come and see me and we'll see what we can do for you. There was some sort of testing going on for historic GT cars. So I go there and of course they speak German there. So I had my friend call this lady, and he was told, well, she's not in due to COVID. But somebody spoke to me and says, you know, come to my office and we'll talk and see what you want. So I go there, and this guy, Ernst, he was very nice, very friendly, and said things. But what was interesting is the powers that be, and, you know, the new president of FIA, Mohammed bin Sulayem, he's from Dubai area or United Arab Emirates. He said they are targeting the infrastructure, not the civilians, and, of course, not the track. Listen to this. We have checked the facts and insurance from the highest level. Let's keep racing. Now, let me ask you a question. In terms of war and terrorist attack, how do you check the facts? You know, facts is the first casualty of war, from what I've heard normally. So we'll see how it goes. What I have a problem with, you know, it's obviously the situation in Saudi Arabia is very different than most other countries. But the problem I have is we don't have a race in the land of Michael Schumacher, no race in the land of Fangio. But we have a race in Saudi Arabia and Azerbaijan. That's where my main issue is. And not saying the other issues are not important. It really goes back to our good friend Lewis Hamilton. Cash is king. What say you?
Well, cash is king. I mean, let's get real. If Saudi Arabia had no money, we wouldn't be there. It's as simple as that. We're there because of $900 million. We don't care. We turn the other cheek. We have no morals. And it's a disgrace. I mean, let's face it. I've said it before. We shouldn't be in Saudi Arabia. And cooler heads will prevail. We'll be out of these terrible countries soon. I guarantee it. Because the symbolism, the optics are terrible for Formula One. Let's get back to South Africa. Let's get back to Argentina. Let's go, baby. You know, we can have another race in America, in Vegas. We can have a couple of races in Belgium. We sure could use a race in Germany every once in a while. What's happening to this world? So, yes, I agree with you completely. I want to welcome you back to America. I'm glad you had a wonderful trip, Nasser. I want you to get some rest because I know the jet lag is affecting you tremendously.
Yeah, but you know, since you are so anti-Formula One in Saudi Arabia, I just would like to give you a word of advice. If you plan to go there, don't apply for a Saudi Arabian tourist visa at their embassy in Istanbul. Just a word to the wise.
Exactly. I heard that it's chop chop.
Yes, exactly. Okay, now the GP2, Formula 2 race took place there. Kiwi Liam Lawson won the sprint race on Saturday, and Sunday's main race was won by Brazilian driver Felipe Drugovich. Liam Lawson is part of Red Bull. This is his second year. He has to deliver or his Formula One career will be over, at least with Red Bull. But the kid is very, very talented, no question about it. And there is one of your homeboys, Theo Pourchaire. He is young and he's very, very quick and talented. He's also in his second year and he should deliver also. Sir, I saw some very sad news lately. Even though the gentleman passed away several months ago, I saw news today that Max Mosley, the reason of his death was suicide. He shot himself after learning he had terminal cancer and had only a few weeks to live. So that was very, very sad to hear. Okay, sir, moving on, we come to famous last words. And this is from Jean Alesi. He is writing a column for Italian Corriere della Sera. He wrote, and let me quote him. He's talking about Perez, okay, so he says, and I quote, "Sainz is always calm and with consistency, he brought home a beautiful second place, keeping Perez behind without giving a single chance to overtake. Perez often disappears. It's a fact." End quote. So I think after hearing this, Perez had some new motivation and hopefully he will win a race. He already has twice the number of wins as Alesi, but let's see what he can do in what you call Australia. I'm very happy the race is going back to Australia after it's been off the calendar for 2 years. And here's a little shout out to our Familia members in Australia. If they are going to the Grand Prix, please send us some pictures and report. And if you want to file an audio report, we'll be very happy to hear from you. And sir, anything else you want to say before we invite a very famous singer to the Palatial Studios?
No, and that singer is in the bullpen, you're right. Great race, I can't wait for Australia, but I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome. Ferrari's awesome, Red Bull's awesome, Alpine is awesome. I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, I want Fernando to win, and it's not going to happen, but we're going to have some great battles, and I like how the cars are a little sturdier. They're a little tougher. They're a little more machismo, not so breakable and delicate. So that's a very good thing. 2022 is shaping up to be my kind of season, Nasser.
Well, let me do a Clark Rogers and Clark Rogers. Who will win the race?
Fernando.
And if he does not win?
Then it's going to be Max.
I say shall, the clerk. We shall see.
Thank you. So now we're doing the musical mondial, the final curtain, Nass, please.
Yes, sir. Since we all have so much fascination for Formula One, we're going to invite Miss Donna Summer for a little fascination from her. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy. Ciao.
Thank you, and good night.
Fantasies.